Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message I'm sharing with you today is entitled Breaking Addictions. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
And how many of you believe that Jesus wants us to live free? There's no guessing about it. It's in God's Word, right? How do we know that Jesus wants us to live free? Well, look at His Word, John 8:36. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Just from His Word, we can see that Jesus wants us free. Jesus not only sets us free from the penalty of our sins, but He wants us to live free from the burden of sin or the power that sin has over us. Not only to be free, but to live free. And just to go on a little further, we mentioned this verse last week, John 8:32, you shall know the truth. If you know Jesus, He's the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth shall make you free. So if you know Jesus, you know Him intimately, you know Him personally, you should be experiencing freedom. Jesus' truth, knowing Him personally, should bring us freedom. So if you're not experiencing freedom in your life, can I tell you this? Good news, freedom is available, amen? Freedom is available. Well, you got to be a little bit more excited than that. That's a good thing. Because with freedom, there's not only life, but there's life abundantly. That's some good stuff. So throughout the series, I'm going to be challenging you with these two questions. Just be honest. Are you living free? Are you free? And are you living free? Am I free? Am I living free? So let's go to the kind of the key verse of the series. This is the verse I'm going to use throughout this series. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's going to be in verses 3 through 5. And I love the words that Paul uses here. It says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Everyone say strongholds. Strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And look at this, and we take captive every thought, not some, but every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There has to be some diligence on our part. So the word that is used there in verse 4 for strongholds, in the Greek, it simply means a fortress. But here's what's interesting about that word, is when you look it up, you kind of study it, it's used metaphorically. All right, so it's used metaphorically of those things in which mere human confidence is imposed. All right, so it's something that's not necessarily real. It's something it's a deception. So when you're dealing with a stronghold, it could be a deception that we believe, something that's not true. See, Satan has been doing this from the beginning, hasn't he? From the very, very beginning, he's been combating truth with a deception. And think about in the very beginning what Satan did with Adam and Eve. He's a deceiver from the very beginning. He's a liar and a father of lies. So Satan will use deception. And remember, deception is just simply something that is not true, that we believe is true. He'll take a deception, it has this power, and what we'll do is we'll believe something that is not true, and it becomes a stronghold in our life. So from the very beginning, God revealed truth to Adam and Eve. Here's the truth, don't eat from this tree and you'll live. But what does Satan do? You won't die. Look what his words say. What was the deception? You won't die. God knows the moment you eat that fruit, you'll see everything the way God sees. God's just trying to hold back from you. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging from good to evil. That's the deception. Here's the truth. Here is the truth. Jesus wants you free. Every one of us. He wants us free. And here's the deception. I'll never experience true freedom. That's a lie from the pits of hell. See, I don't care what situation it is. I don't care what hang-up, what habit, what problem you have. You can call it generational. You can call it whatever you want. But if we ever buy into the truth that we cannot experience freedom, it's a lie. It's not in God's Word. It's not grounded. It's not founded in His Word. It's something that we believe. And when we believe that, it becomes a stronghold. So you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? All right, throughout the series, we're going to kind of expose some lies. Lies the enemy has spoken to us. Lies we've believed. So let's do this. Let's cast some light upon those lies. And let's take those lies out and let's put some truth from God's Word. Amen? All right, this morning we're going to talk about breaking addiction. Breaking addiction. Raise your hand if you know someone whose life has been impacted by an addiction. Raise your hand. Yeah. Here's the truth, though. All of us, to some degree, experience addiction. Every one of us. All right? So addictions are not, we kind of limit addictions to drugs, to alcohol, to illicit sex. But here's a good definition of an addiction. An addiction is anything we do that we don't want to do, but we won't stop doing. I want you to just think about that for a second. An addiction is anything we do that we don't want to do, but we can't stop doing, or we won't stop doing. See, it can be an addiction to anger. All right, it can be an addiction to gossiping. All right, it can be an addiction to television. It can be an addiction to food. It can be an addiction to our phone and our devices. All right, listen, some people, they can't even get into the shower without taking their phone. Can I tell you this? You can justify that any way you want, but you got a problem. Really, you do, okay? Let's just be honest. If you have to take your phone into the shower with you for 5 or 10 minutes, you can't part with the phone, there's a problem. All right, see, we just got to be real about this, or else, listen, we just kind of cover over with a bunch of religious garbage. And I don't know about you, Jesus says we can be free and we can live free. I want that freedom, amen? So an addiction becomes something we believe that we can't live without. And it begins to take control over our lives. An addiction becomes something we can't live without, and it begins to control our lives. So an addiction is anything we do way too much and we can't stop doing. Well, I hope these words are getting through to you this morning, because Jesus wants you free, amen? Listen, and I'm not preaching at you. Trust me. I preached this sermon to myself. So listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. I think he best explains the addictive nature of our flesh in Romans chapter 7. Check this out, verse 21. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good. Boy, how many of you have been there? In your heart, you want to do good. You want to do the right thing. I want to do good, but look, evil is right there with me. So I want to do good, but evil is there. I hope all of us can identify with that statement. In my inner being, I delight in God's word, God's law. I want to do what's right. I love God's word. I know it's right. I know it's true, but there's something else that's going on. See, verse 23, but I see another law at work in me, waging war. There's a war going on inside of us, church. Waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. See, there's a war going on inside of all of us, and Satan, he'll capitalize on that. He knows there's a battle taking place, and what does he do? He does exactly what he's been doing to mankind throughout history. He'll offer deception. He'll offer deception. Remember, he has power to do stuff, but he has no authority. That's why deception is his greatest weapon. Christians are the focus of deception. We have to remember that. We think of deception often in terms of people outside of the church. He's already got them. Listen, when you weren't living for God, he already had you. He didn't need to deceive you. You were deceived already. I was in that number. I don't know about you. But how does he try, or who does he focus on when he wages war, when he uses deception? It's the body of Christ. It's the church. So this is the problem. This is the problem we have in church. This is the problem we have with religion. We don't like to be so transparent. But that's exactly what it takes to live free. It's exactly what it takes. If you won't be honest and transparent, you'll never be free from an addiction. You'll never be free from a habit. All right? The reality of our flesh has to be front and center. We have to know it, we have to be aware of it, and we have to acknowledge it. So there are many self-imposed factors that influence our behaviors, but an addiction, or whatever you want to call it, you cannot find freedom unless there's honesty. So you won't ever experience true freedom until you have honesty. And when you have honesty, it begins to lose its power. So know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Amen? If we deny an addiction, what it does is it gives it power. It then has more and more power. So what are some addiction lies? What are some lies we can identify that addictions tell us? What does it tell our flesh? Here's one. An addiction is my identity. All right, so what I do is who I am. It's a lie. That's not even Bible. That's a lie for the pit of hell. And we buy into this all the time. I know there's some great 12-step programs out there that do some great things in the area of addictions. Thank God for them. But some of them I disagree with because they want you to identify with that addiction and internalize and you become that addiction. Are you following me? That's the problem with that is that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God is very clear. For example, I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic, and I get that. It's important. I'm not, by the way, right? I got other problems. Let's say I'm an alcoholic. There, that's better. And I'm an alcoholic. I get that. That's important to be that transparent. But that addiction is not my identity. Are you following me? See, my identity is in Christ. Amen? If I am born again, my identity is a child of God. That's who I am. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. See, that has to be my identity, or else I'll be deceived and I'll be stuck in that identity. You'll never break free. You'll live according to that lie. See, God sees who we can be or who we are in Christ. Well, Pastor, I'm an alcoholic. My daddy was an alcoholic. His daddy was an alcoholic. I'm Irish, so I guess we're just going to be alcoholics. That's the kind of lies we believe. It's just silly. You know what I'm saying? If that's the lie we believe, we're going to have problems. If you're born again, you are a child of God. Remember that. That's your identity. You'll never find freedom in the identity of your sin if you identify with your sin. Number two, here's lie number two. I try to quit whatever I'm doing, but I fail, and I increasingly feel hopeless. Hopeless. I try, I fail, but I feel hopeless. See, some of you know what the Word of God says so well because you've dealt with things and you've studied it. You know what God's Word says. You know what it says about your addiction, what it says about your sin, but you fail and you fail and you fail, you feel hopeless. Anybody ever been there before? See, some of you, we've even done this before. I've preached, you've responded to the altar, we've prayed, and you fail still. And there's a sense of hopelessness. Can I tell you this? As long as you serve a God that can raise the dead, you have hope. And I believe with all my heart that he still has the power to raise the dead. So as long as that truth is true, and it's going to stay true, because God doesn't change, then you have hope. All right? You have hope. Don't buy into the lie of hopelessness. It's a deception. Yeah, I'm not free, but I'll never get free. If you buy that, if you own that, you won't find freedom. But freedom is right there. It's available. It's promised in God's Word. Listen, God is true. Everything else is a lie. All right, don't buy into the lie of hopelessness. You have hope in Jesus' name. All right, number three, any threat to my addiction becomes a threat to me. All right, any threat to my addiction becomes a threat to me. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes when we are struggling with an addiction or a problem and it gets exposed, we get defensive. So when maybe someone loves you, they see behaviors, they see something, they say, hey, I noticed you do this thing. And rather than come clean, we double down. We double down and we defend ourselves. And what happens is whatever we're struggling with becomes more powerful then. All right, so honesty is the truth. It is the key to breaking addiction. It is one of the keys. And if you're addicted, and you maybe believe lies like this, if you have an addiction you're dealing with, and again, listen, I'm not pointing out anyone. I'm telling you, we all struggle with addiction on some level. So here's lies that we believe. Everyone is against me. Everyone is against me. No one understands. No one cares. Everyone is judging me. Boy, that is code today. Stop believing a lie, amen? Let's be honest with ourselves, be honest with each other, be honest with God most of all. Lie number four, an addiction makes us feel like we've lost our life. Like we've lost our life. An addiction will tell us that we've gone too far and there's no reconciliation available. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. If you ever feel like you've done something that makes you too far gone, that you haven't read God's word. Because I read about Paul and Moses. Both of them are murderers, and God turns around and makes them preachers. So what makes you so special? See what I'm saying? See, your greatest days are ahead of you, amen? I mean, if you're sitting here, everyone looks like they've got life in them. No one's killed over dead. Yeah, that's good. But if you've got life, the best days are ahead of you. Why? Because God has a purpose and a promise for you. If Jesus is your Lord, your greatest days are ahead. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've struggled with it. Lie number five, I can ease my pain, stress, worry, shame with the next fix. Boy, this is a lie that we often will buy into. We believe we receive comfort by acting upon our addiction. When it, in reality, what it's doing, it's masking what we lack. Right? So a person, give you an example, a person who gossips, a person who lies. What are they covering? They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They don't feel important. They don't feel accepted. See, what we got to do is remember this. When we're dealing with issues, we always want to look at the behavior, but you got to find the motivation. You got to get down to the root of the problem. What is making me do what I'm doing? So a person who will lie and gossip, they want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be accepted. They believe a lie that they are invisible. No one sees me. No one cares about me. And they only see me and care about me when I begin to open my mouth. Then I'm accepted, and that's a lie. That is a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And what follows that kind of behavior is this. Let's say you're a person that deals with lying, or you deal with gossiping. What follows that behavior is shame. Shame. I don't know about you, when I've done something wrong, when I'm dealing with things, and I know that I'm doing the wrong thing, what happens is I get shame. I can feel it. I don't know about you, there are times I can be just thinking about nothing and something comes back for me from years ago. Something I said, something I did, and I instantly feel shame. See, shame is something very real that we don't like to talk about, but it's huge in addictions. It's huge, and if you don't want to call it addiction, then problems with your flesh, all right? If you're more comfortable with that, it's the same thing, all right? So what happens is shame creates a vicious cycle. So what happens is this, we deal with an addiction, we give into it, we try to find comfort, we're trying to find peace, but what happens is we end up getting shame. And then to escape that shame, what we do is we do it again. And the process goes over and over and over again. Look what Paul says about this cycle. It's in the Word of God. Check it out, Romans 7:15. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. I can't say it any better. You know what's amazing is 2,000 years ago, we're dealing with the same stuff, right? Same stuff. Maybe different vices, but the same stuff. See, Paul has this conversation about this cycle of shame throughout the chapter. And the whole chapter deals with this, chapter 7. But look what, and remember, when you read the Bible, just because, like Romans chapter 7, remember, it's a letter. Paul didn't write in there chapter 7, chapter 8, right? It's a, so this is an actuality here. Check this out. This is the next thought that ends that chapter on addiction. You know, the things that I don't want to do that I do. Look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen, here's a lie an addiction will tell you. You will have peace if you just do what your flesh wants, what you're craving. But afterwards, what does Satan do? Heaps condemnation upon you. You know what? He's all for you to give in to your desire, to give in to whatever it is. But the minute you mess up, he's the first one there that says, you're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You're phony. You're fake. Man, and he just heaps condemnation upon you. See, gratifying your flesh will always end up in condemnation rather than satisfaction. Church, we have to change how we think. Stop believing lies. Start believing truth. I heard a pastor tell the story about a woman calling his church asking for counseling. And pastor answers the phone and lady's looking for counseling. And he asked her, you know, where does she go to church? You know, are you going to church anywhere in the community? And she goes, oh yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Okay. He goes, well, let me ask you this question. If you go to church every Sunday, then why don't you have your pastor or someone on staff there provide counseling for you? She goes, oh no, I can never know, let them know what I'm going through. See, that's the problem right there. That's a big problem. But you see, I think I said that some of you could identify with that. I can identify that. I don't want them to know what I'm going through. It's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the devil. The cycle will continue for this lady until she humbles herself and is transparent. She'll find true freedom then. See, church, we will never be a place for healing in our community, which I think God's called us to be a place of healing in our community until we deal honestly with our own junk. All right, see, because what happens is this. There are people that are just looking for freedom in our community. They're just dying in religion. they'll come and they'll look for freedom, but they find religion. So what happens is this: coming to church, they see people who got, they just putting it on. They know they got their church on. They got their Sunday on. They can see right through it. They're like, why do I want to waste my time there? Why do I want to waste my time there? Because what's going to happen is, I know that's empty, it's hollow, it doesn't change anything. See, until we can honestly take a hold of our own fallenness and look at it truthfully, we'll never be a place of healing God's calling us to be. In fact, this is what will happen. We'll probably end up hurting more people than helping people. All right, if we're going to experience true freedom in Christ, there is no condemnation as key. There is no, this should be a no condemnation zone, amen? And in fact, I don't care who it is. It could be myself. All right, if someone begins to heap condemnation on someone, all right, they have no business being in whatever position they are in. You following me? Because the truth of the matter is this. If we get below the surface of everybody here, there's a lot of stuff. You hear me? There's a lot of stuff. So true freedom is found living our lives according to the Spirit rather than the flesh. There's no condemnation when you're living according to the Spirit, so that's where we want to be, right? But boy, why are we so triggered? Why are we so drawn to live in the flesh? There's a struggle. There's a struggle. And Satan, what does he do? He offers deception to keep us bound in that struggle. When you're dealing with a stronghold, when you're dealing with an addiction, I'm going to say this, and you're not going to like it probably, but at the heart, at the core of that struggle is an idol. It's an idol. But we don't like to admit we can be idolaters. See, we think of idolaters, we think of chubby little Buddhas, right? That's not what we're talking about. See, an idol is something we allow to sit on the throne of our hearts. There's only one thing that belongs to that heart, and that's Jesus. Nothing else belongs there. He sits on the throne of that heart. So if something has power to control you, it's an idol. Church, let's just be honest, amen? It's not a habit that we have, it's a love. It's not a habit we have, it's a love. It's a passion. It's not an addiction, it's a passion. See, we'll tell ourselves lies. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Our flesh wants to do that thing. Now, again, you have to remember what the Word says. In me, my spirit, it wants to do right. It loves God. But your flesh is different. It ain't saved. All right, until we come face to face with this reality, freedom is a pipe dream. You keep on trucking the way you're trucking and let me know how you're doing 5 months, 6 months, a year down the line. You're going to be in the same rut you're in, amen? But if we really want to find freedom, let's identify what's on the heart, what sits on the heart, what's there, and let's get it out of the way, amen? Until we come face to face without reality, freedom is a pipe dream. So we'll always be a slave to whatever sits on the throne of our heart. It's easier to admit this. I think it's easy for people to say, yeah, I'm a drug addict, or yeah, I'm a drunk, or yeah, I'm addicted to sex. But when it comes down to this, we have a harder time admitting I'm addicted to anger, rage, gossip, lying, food. Come on now, somebody listen to me. All those things are equal playing ground, all right? There's no one that is better than worse than the other. They'll all lead you to a grave. So here's why. We don't like to expose our idols to truth. We don't like to take what's inside of that heart, what's sitting on our heart, what has control, what has power. We don't like for anyone to see that, and we really don't even like to see it ourselves. So we hide it away, we keep it there, and it has power, it has a grip. See, if you want to be free from a stronghold, Jesus must sit in that place. He must have supreme rule in that place. He must sit alone on the throne of your heart in that area of your life. He must be Lord and Lord of all. When Jesus is seated on the throne of our hearts, we can experience true freedom. It's easy. Why? Because he's king, he's Lord, he's ruling, he's reigning there. This is not difficult, is it? It's really not. But we make things so difficult because we all have flesh. We all have stuff we don't want to deal with. We want to pretend like everything is okay. How you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed. Calling it good and blessed don't mean it is good and blessed, amen? If we really want to experience freedom, we have to settle who's sitting on our hearts, who is sitting on the throne of our heart. And when you're not in relationship with Jesus, that can happen, amen? There's no way for Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart if you're not in relationship with him, if you're not born again, if you're not saved. But when you're born again, when you're saved, he can begin to reign in your life. See, I think this is what happens. But since coming to Jesus, you all have this place where he can reign and rule. But you got to allow him to reign and rule in every part of you. Because what happens is this. You can remove one idol, and guess what happens? Another one comes to the surface. It's a process. But thank God you don't have to do this alone. You have someone who's called the Holy Spirit to help you, to empower you, to equip you. Amen? Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus, but why do I still struggle with this sin? Why do I still struggle with this habit? Why do I still want that person? Why do I still want to do those things? Why do I want to behave this way? Because Jesus is not Lord of that area. It's plain and simple. If he is, you wouldn't, right? Denying the truth is only further delaying experiencing true freedom. So here's how we dethrone idols. Here's how we break strongholds. Number one, put God first. Put God first. Practice putting God first. Put God first in every area of your life. It's not a cliche. It's a truth. It is a truth grounded and placed throughout the Word of God. See, if God isn't first, then we have a problem, don't we? If God's not first in our situations, we're going to make a decision. We're going to base our actions on something other than God. So he has to be first. Watch this. Salvation is not when you just raise your hand, right? It's not when you raise your hand at the end of the message. Salvation is not when you say that prayer. All those things are good. It's not when you sign a card. It's not when you are baptized and join a church. Like, salvation is truly when you can do this, when you can put God first. He has to be first. No other gods before us. Look at Romans 10:9. Let's just go to this one. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You say, well, there it is. But see, it's not just word service. Because anyway, it's just magic then, right? Hocus pocus. Poof. I'm just saying some words. I'm saying, hey, Jesus is Lord. No, you can say Jesus is Lord till the cows come home, but he better be Lord. Amen? When you're saying that, it's not lip service. What you're saying is, I'm going to begin to reorder things in my life. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can do it because you're born again. And you begin to take those idols that are sitting in that place of Jesus' throne, and you can remove them and put him there. See, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, again, if all we're saying is words, then anybody can be saved, right? There's no repentance required. There's no work of the Spirit that is required. It goes beyond just word service. Here, look, let's go back to just kind of throughout the Word of God, how this is weaved in and out, how we put God first. Ten Commandments. I know we're not justified by the law, but the Ten Commandments have eternal truths, correct? Or say they have some importance in our life. What does the first one say? And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. First commandment demands we put God first. It demands that there's no excuses, there's no exceptions. Put God first. Jesus, when he was asked, what's the most important law? If we could summarize the Word of God, what is the most important law? In essence, what he said, love the Lord your God first and foremost, right? Whatever you love the most will be the most important. Whatever you love the most will be put first. All right. Christianity, it's not about living a perfect life. That's not it, because if that's the case, we're all going to fail miserably, correct? If we're judged on perfection, we're all going to fail miserably. But truly, what Christianity is about is putting Jesus on the throne of your life in every area of your life, and you can do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. The only reason you can't is if you buy into a lie. You buy into a deception. See, this is why some of us get in our relationship with God. We're growing, we're progressing. All of a sudden, we get stuck. We hit a wall. You know why? Because there's some things there that you got to deal with. And we refuse to deal with them. And we think, oh, we just keep doing it this way. We keep doing it. And it's insanity. Nothing changes. So what happens is we bought into a lie. So where is the deception and where is the truth? What are some practical ways we can put Jesus first? I know this sounds so silly. And I'm not trying to be religious or anything like that, but honestly, you got to establish this. It just doesn't happen by praying it. Jesus, I'm going to put you first today, and then you go out and put him second. See, it's not going to work, right? That dog won't hunt. So here, check this out. Rather than waking up, and the first thing you do, grab your phone and start going through Facebook, why don't you put on the Bible app and read a scripture? And you say, what's that going to do? You're starting to put God first is what you're doing, right? You got to establish godly habits. They don't happen overnight by themselves because you have flesh to deal with. I'm too tired to read that scripture, but I can look at Facebook. Come on now. You can even be so lazy to do this. If you pick the right version, it has this little play button. And you don't even have to necessarily read it. You hit play, and it speaks it out in a nice little voice. It takes 5 minutes. Why can't we begin to start our days off with putting God first? See, why not set our minds on Him first? Sunday, first day of the week, thank God you are here. You're putting God first today. First day of the week, put God first. Why not put God first in our finances? Don't shout me down. Why not put God first in our family? See, you got to establish the first throughout your entire life. The principle of the first needs to be observed in every area of our lives because if Jesus is second, something else is first. All right, number two, learn to say no to the flesh. Learn to say no to the flesh. We are three-part beings, amen? Body, soul, spirit. When you're born again, your spirit's born again, you're a new creation. That's where you're new because that other stuff's not new. That's confusing to some people. Your spirit is born again. That's why in your inmost being, you want to do the right thing, but you got this other stuff you deal with because it's not saved. It's not more. Your mind, your will, it all has to be transformed, and it can't be transformed religiously. It has to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit only under the Spirit's dominion. Because otherwise, if you're just manipulating it, you can't keep it that way, right? You actually, change has to occur within you. Transformation actually has to occur. And listen, some of you, I don't want you to get discouraged. Sometimes we go through life and there's areas of our lives that need to be transformed. And again, we run up against the wall. We feel like there's no hope. Just keep trusting God. Keep putting Him first. There's some basic spiritual disciplines. If you just listen to me, that I know they've helped me, they'll help you too. Born again, we're a new creation, but boy, our mind, our will, it has to be transformed. Our bodies is a whole different beast. But it's, you know, our matter, our senses, we're composed of these three parts. And at any one time, any one of those parts can be in control. All three of them, they want to be in control, and they can be in control if you feed them. Did you hear what I just said? If you feed that desire. So body, soul, spirit all have cravings. They will become dominant over one over that if you feed it. Whatever one is dominant is the one you feed. That's why I'm going to say something that you're not going to like. That's why fasting is so important. So important. You know, fasting, I know we do it once a year. We kind of do our little religious thing. But, you know, really, fasting is a spiritual discipline. And it should be happening throughout our Christian walk consistently. And listen, there's nothing wrong with fasting and praying when you have a big decision to make. I think that's important to fast and pray. But if you're struggling in the flesh, that's the time to fast and pray. Because the bottom line is this, you're born again, it wants to do the right thing, so why can't it? Well, it's because our flesh has too much power in an area. So fasting helps us break the desire of our flesh. Well, I thought fasting was about getting something from God. No, it's about you getting in line with God. See, if we ever approach fasting this way, it's about getting from God. You're just on a diet, and you're just going to be hungry after how many days you fast. And you're going to think, what was that all about? See, fasting is about getting yourself in line with God, getting control of your flesh. Well, that's Bible, by the way. And denying yourself, deny your flesh, empower your spirit, and then when we do that, we can experience freedom. All right, look at this. This is just Christianity 101, right? Check this out, Matthew 16, 24. This is exactly what Jesus is saying. He said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, follow me, serve me, he must what? Deny himself. And take up his cross and follow me. I think we like that take up the cross part and follow me, but we forget the part that was right before that. Must deny himself. You must deny yourself. I don't want to deny myself. I want to do what I want to do and God to bless me and just have a happy life. Ain't going to work that way. You're going to find yourself in a mess again. If you live according to desires of your flesh, you will die. But if we live according to the Spirit, the promise is life abundantly. Sign me up for that. Life liberated. So how do we live according to the flesh or the Spirit? Don't want to do the flesh, you die. How do we live according to the Spirit? Deny our flesh. Starve it. You say, you mean we're not going to eat anymore? No. It might have to be that. And so whatever the situation is, it may require you to fast food, correct? They say fast food, you go to Wendy's, but the fast food, all right? But you have to deny your flesh. You have to starve that area of your life, and you have to feed your spirit. Get into the habit of telling yourself no. Fasting helps you gain control over the flesh. Listen, I don't know about you, last time I looked, the fruit of the Spirit, self-control is one. Self-control. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. It's a tool. And when we practice it, it helps us to develop spiritual fruit, develop self-control. See, when you get into the habit of dethroning your flesh and empowering your spirit, you will find freedom to live for Jesus. We fasted again at the beginning of the year. Don't let that be the only time you fast. Practice fasting. It's an ongoing spiritual discipline. And Jesus said this, as the same as he says, when you pray, he says, and when you fast. It's in the same set. It's as much as you pray, you should be fasting as well. It's a spiritual discipline. So how do we gain control over the flesh? How do we break the desires of our flesh? What do we fast from? Again, food may be part of it, but how about this? Why don't you fast from social media? Well, let's fast from television. Netflix, Hulu, whatever you watch. Try it for a month. Well, you just kooky talk. No, this is what happens, and you know this. We know this. If we try to fast for a month, we're probably going to fail, and it will show how much power the flesh has. Therein lies the problem. Case in point for us. Failure sometimes is the greatest thing. I don't know about you, when I fail, I hate it. When I lose, I hate losing. Second place is not acceptable. It only wants to make me win more. So I'm just saying this. Failure for me is like, oh no, oh no. I'm not settling for that because I don't like it. Because for me, and I'm not saying this for you, my wife, we can compete, she can lose, and she's all right with that. Not me. I'm mad. It can be the stupidest thing. Have you ever watched that show, 600 Pound Life, my 600 pounds? Okay, my wife watched that, and she's crazy. And then she wants to sit down and eat while she's watching that. And no offense, I'm like, Jenny, this, you know, there's just something not right about this. But have you ever noticed that doctor will not approve, he will not approve weight loss surgery until they lose weight? Why? He knows. He knows the power of the flesh. They're just going to go right back. They're going to go right back. They're going to stretch out whatever he's reduced, and they're going to go right back. They've got to get control over the flesh. All right. Jesus can't be first if something else has power over us. And fasting is a way that we get control over the flesh. What did God say to Cain when he was tempted? Before he even killed his brother, sin shall not have mastery over you. You shall master it. Look at this, Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Church, if we don't work on our problems with our flesh, we don't do that. We're not called by God's word to work on our problems. We're called to kill them. We're called to crucify them. Somebody needs to hear that today. Well, I'm working on this. No, you got to kill it. You got to kill it. You got to crucify it. You got to obliterate it. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Least when I've preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul tells us to bring our bodies, our desires into submission so they lose the power to persuade us. See, we live in a culture that is anti-fasting, but it is pro-excess. Amen? Our culture promotes excess and indulgence. That's what we live in. Listen, everything. I remember my mom talking about this. She was talking about the size of chickens. Right? Back in the day, chickens, you go to the grocery store, they were tiny or small. And now today, you got these turkeys. And you go to the restaurant. You go to a restaurant, and nothing's small anymore, right? It's huge. It's huge. Everything is just, it's we live, and now a large is not a large. A large is a bucket. And small, you get a small, it's a large. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to do better, and I'm like, that's a small? See, our culture, it promotes excess. We get caught up there. Our culture promotes freedom and satisfying our desires, and it's not there. It's hollow. It's a pipe dream. And we're more progressively falling into this cycle of addiction because the lie of the culture is this. There, more is better. This is what I know. Whatever we starve, we'll die. Whatever we starve, we'll die. You don't eat, you're going to die. At some point, you will die, right? I know if you don't drink water, you'll die faster, but I'm just telling you this. If you stop eating, at some point, you will die. And it's the same thing with things in our life. If we stop feeding, whatever it is we're feeding, it will die. Starve it, it will die. Number three, this is my last one. If we're gonna find freedom, then we have to go all in with Jesus. We have to just go all in. This is what we do. You have an area of your life where you're not experiencing freedom. And you put God first. You say, I'm going to get control of the flesh, and then I'm all in with Jesus. Let me just kind of give you some areas. And I don't mean halfway or three-quarters of the way in or seven-eighths or, oh, I had a headache today or I had a bellyache today. No, none of the excuses, all right? Because there are sometimes, I understand, we get sick, but most time we just get lazy. So here they are. Why don't we go to church? Why don't we go to church? Why don't we attend Wednesday night service or a small group or whatever, plugged in somewhere? Why don't we read our Bible every day? This is not going to get real deep. What if we pray every day? What if we worship every day? All in. I'm not trying to get religious, but what we're doing is we're creating spiritual disciplines that will help you gain control of your flesh. It is really this simple. And I'm just saying this. Read our Bibles, pray every day. I've never seen someone actually do this all in and continue to fail. Reduce the influence of the world. Replace it with something spiritual. Fast at least once a month. There's that word, fast. Yes, don't eat. You can full fast, partial fast, however you want. Get into a regular practice of fasting. Serve in an area of ministry and be accountable. Yeah, like a job. I think freedom is that important. If you will give me a year and do those things, at the end of the year, if you don't like what you have, then you get your money back. But I'm guarantee you, if you are all in and you do those things, you're not going to have any problems. Confident, I could say that. Again, I'm not talking about halfway, three quarters. I'm talking about all the way. Whatever you starve will die. Whatever you feed will thrive. Whatever you starve will die. Whatever you feed will thrive. So what are you going to starve and what are you going to feed? If you want freedom, go all in together. I mean, we're still at the first of the year. At the end of this year, go all in with those things and just see where you are next year at this time. I think you'll be amazed. I really do. And I think that sometimes it's this simple, but we just don't want to say that. I think there's good, you can lay hands on people and that's good and pray for them. But at the end of the day, you've got to walk with Jesus. And he has to be on the throne of your heart, amen?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.